And if I'm not mistaken, that's your first solo here. First solo ever. Richard, she does pretty well when you're not trying to overshadow her. Oh, good morning. Jennifer, I don't want to embarrass you, but I love it. The hairdo. I love it. Looks great. Well, it caught me off guard. I saw her come in earlier, and I thought, I don't know that girl. And then I see that she's sitting with her son, and I thought, wait a minute, I do know her. She's just wearing a different hairstyle. Looks very nice, huh? You know, some things just throw you off. Some things just throw you off. It's Thanksgiving time. Rudine, one of the ways that I can tell that is you have some of your children here. And I know it's not your birthday yet. So, Thanksgiving. I'm glad that you're here. Hey, George, I didn't see you back there. Welcome back. Good to see you. All kinds of surprises this morning. This afternoon, we're going to gather for our annual church Thanksgiving meal. You heard Larry speak about that a while ago. First of all, let me tell you that you are invited to be here at 4 o'clock and share that with us. Doesn't matter whether you signed up in advance or not. I was in the kitchen earlier, and there's enough food being prepared for way more than what signed up, which is normal around here. And so let me encourage you to be here for that time. Also, let me say to you, I don't know whether Larry said it or not, but this is an eat-in only function. This is a time we get together and we sit around the table and we fellowship together. And so there will not be any carry-out dinners available this afternoon. You know, it's those of you that haven't been with us, I've had this bug for a while. And I think the only thing that's left is the cough, but it's there. It's always a special time when we gather as a church family. It's a special time when we gather on Sunday mornings to worship, bring our hearts together in praise, pray together, anticipate what God has to say to us during that time, and be ready to hear from Him. It's a special time when we gather for service and ministry, such as you do every Tuesday morning when you share food with hundreds of families. Last week, I think there was right at 200. I heard on the radio this week several different places and several different programs and ministries that I'm grateful for, and they're doing a great job. That will be providing either prepared Thanksgiving meals or turkeys and trimmings to send home with people. I'm so thankful for those organizations that do that on a regular annual basis. And I heard one of them saying this year they hope to be sharing turkeys and trimmings with about 400 families. And I thought that's wonderful. And then I thought about you guys. And I thought, well, we're not going to have the availability of turkeys. But every Tuesday, you share food somewhere between usually 70 and 100 pounds per, with somewhere between usually 120 and 200 families. And since you only allow them to do that once a month, that means that you share this 70 to 100 pounds of food with somewhere between 600 and 800 families a month. Every month. And it's a special time when we come together to serve and minister to others in the community. There's a lot of bonding within the church family that happens. There's a lot of outreach into the community that happens. We were blessed over the last week to receive somewhere around 5,000 or 6,000 pounds of food from the canned food drive across the street at Lena Vista Elementary School. And they do this drive every year, and they bring the food to us because they say, you minister to the community. And they want that food that their students bring in to go back into this community and not send it off somewhere. They want to take care of our community. And you do that all the time. It's a special time when we gather. It may be in a worship setting such as this. It may be in a service and ministry setting. Or sometimes we gather just to enjoy each other's company and share a meal together, like we'll be doing this afternoon. And it's always such a blessing to sit around the tables. Parts of conversations that you're sharing with each other. And to watch the love bond grow between you as we share in these times. On Thursday of this week, most of us will gather with family or friends, and we'll celebrate Thanksgiving together. It saddens me when I hear people say, I don't have anything to be thankful for this year. It breaks my heart when I hear professed believers in Jesus saying things like that. Or, what do I have to be thankful for? You ever heard that question? Usually when I hear that question, it's done in anger. Or pain. Psalm 50, verse 23 says, "The one who offers thanksgiving as his sacrifice glorifies me. To one who orders his way rightly, I will show the salvation of God." I don't know about you, but I have a tremendous amount to be thankful for. I could stand here and tell you things that I'm thankful for, you know, and we could go to my home and talk about my family and talk about the opportunity to share with you and serve Christ together with you and all of those things. But I think that the Scripture gives us an extremely clear picture of things to be thankful for. In Psalm 100, verse 4, the Scripture says, "Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name." Every time that you think about being in the presence of the Lord, it says, give him praise. Be thankful. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." Or Ephesians 5:20 that says, "Giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." You know, folks, we need to take that literally. We need to understand that that's not a suggestion. As God's children, he says to us, he says to you, and he says to me, to give thanks always and what? For what? For what? For what? For everything. As a young preacher, I preached a Thanksgiving message on that verse of Scripture and talked about the things that we should be thankful for. And we talked about disease, and we talked about pain, and we talked about heartache, and we talked about sadness, and we talked about sorrow, and we talked about joy, and we talked about good things in life. And at the end of the service, one of the men that went out the door looked at me and he said, "That's the most dangerous message I've ever heard." So what do you mean? He said, "You're crazy." What do I know from what God says? Giving thanks always for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's not a suggestion. He says, whatever it is, give me thanks. Whatever it is. We were sitting in here a few weeks ago on Wednesday night in prayer meeting. And Ann, too, I heard you say, you know, I'm thankful for whatever this was that took me to the doctors and to the hospital, because it caused them to find something else that nobody knew was there so that they could take care of it. Okay. It works out. God's got a plan. Psalm 106:47 says, "Save us, O Lord our God, and gather us from among the nations, that we may give thanks to your holy name and glory in your praise." It's sad when people think they have nothing to be thankful for. But it is tragic when a believer in Jesus Christ gets to the place where they think they have nothing to be thankful for. the most important things that we can be thankful for, we find in God's Word. Let me share a few of them with you this morning. I can be thankful today that God is a good God. You got that? Psalm 106:1. Praise the Lord. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is what? Good. For His steadfast love endures forever. How long? The love of God from the throne room of glory. The God that Isaiah said, I looked and I saw high and lifted up and seated on a throne. That God that said, let there be, and the earth was formed. That God that formed man out of the dust of the earth and breathed life into him. That God never, ever, ever stops loving me. And He never stops loving you. And I want you to know that today. I want you to know that no matter who you are, no matter where you've been, no matter what's happened in your life, no matter what somebody else has said to you, the God of glory loves you today. You need to know that. Because there are people around us that truly believe that nobody loves me. And there may not be somebody with skin on them that loves them. They may be in a situation where everybody they know is a user and an abuser and a destroyer. Sad to say, there's a lot of that going on in our world. But they cannot be in a situation where the God of glory does not love them. No matter who you are. There are teachings from some little g gods that say if an individual does not believe what I decree, that individual should be killed. The God of glory says to those of us who know Him and are part of His family and love Him, that when we come across people that do not believe Him and do not believe what He has done for them and do not believe what He says for them, that we ought to be about the business of letting Him love them through us enough that they will come to believe He does love them. I hope you believe today that God loves you. And if you're not sure about it right now, I hope before we get done, you are sure about it. Jehovah God says that you should be loved and that you should be ministered to and that you should be reached out to so that you may decide to come to faith in Him so that you can live with the God of glory for eternity. I can also be thankful not only that He is good, but that He has unfailing love. Psalm 107:8, let them thank the Lord for His, what? Steadfast love, for His wondrous works to the children of man. Let me ask you a question. Do you think that sometime in the future, God might love you more than He does today? I hope you don't think that. God can't love you any more than he does right this moment. You know, we get into relationships with people and we may even get married. And we may grow together and that love bond strengthen. And maybe after 10 or 15 or 20 or 60 years, we look at each other and say, I love you more today than I did the day that we got together or the day that we got married or the day that this happened. God will never be able to say that to you. He will never be able to say to you, Charlene, I love you more today than the day that you were 20. He will never be able to say to you, I love you more today than the day that you received Jesus Christ as your Savior. He will never be able to say to you that I love you more today than the day that my son hung on the cross at Calvary and died for your sin so that you might be one of my children and live with me for all of eternity. He loves you as much right this moment as he can possibly love you. And that love never stops. It never stops. And it's not dependent on my actions. It doesn't matter whether I love him back. He's going to love me anyway. You got that? It doesn't matter whether I do it his way or my way. He's going to love me anyway. Now, our relationship will be better if I'm doing life his way. But his love will be no greater. Can't be. I can be thankful that God is always near me. Psalm 145, 18 says, the Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. Listen. He's as close as the mention of his name. He makes his presence known to me. Sometimes he makes his presence known to me in prayer times. Sometimes he makes his presence known to me as he gives peace to my soul. Sometimes he makes his presence known to me as by his Holy Spirit he leads me and directs me in the way that I ought to go. He will never, ever leave me nor forsake me. Though I may be in a house all by my physical self, I'm never alone. My God is near me all the time. I can be thankful for the prayers that he has answered. Psalm 118, 21 says, I thank you that you have answered me and become my salvation. You know, if you're having trouble being thankful, this may be a good place to start. Being thankful for the prayers that he has answered. Yes, there are probably prayers that he's not answered the way you want it. Quite likely. But what about the ones he's answered? Charles told you about what happened with him this week. He and I both agree that if we are going to be sick, we want to be sick here. This is the best place in all of God's creation to be sick. Because the people in this place know how to approach the throne of glory on our behalf. And God listens to you. As he promised he would. And God responds to you. As he promised he would. We need to be thankful for the prayers that have been answered. I can be thankful for the Bible. You got that? Seems like a simple thing. Psalm 119:62. At midnight, I rise to praise you because of your righteous rules. More rules. More things I have to do. More things I can't do. More stuff. Listen. He gives us his word. And it not only tells us of his great love and of his plan to redeem us, it not only tells us of the way to salvation, but it gives us guidelines as to the way we should live. Now, that means that dummy number one doesn't have to figure out this life all by myself. But the creator of life, the one that designed this life, the one that engineered this body and this life, wrote down a user's guide. And says, this is the way that this complex being that I have created works best. And works most completely. And achieves its fullest potential. This is the way, he says. We don't have to figure those things out. It is my firm belief that we have far too many people in our nation, in our government, in our world, that are trying to figure out how to have this complex creation achieve its fullest potential without ever looking at the user's guide. Now, men, you know what I'm talking about. We buy it. We start screwing things together. We throw the papers down on the floor. And we may or not use up all the pieces. And we flipped a switch, and it don't do what it's supposed to do. And so we start pulling and pushing and flipping and flopping. And it still don't do what it's supposed to do. And we may go back, pick up that stuff off the floor. Yep, did that. Well, that's simple. Really? Well, I'll be. And that's exactly the way it is with us trying to live life and figure life out without ever referencing the user's guide. That God patiently put together for us over a period of about 1,500 years and has preserved it for thousands. So that somebody like you and I could figure out how to live this life most completely. Wow. I can be thankful for the Bible. And I can be thankful for the eternal home that God has prepared for me. Jesus said, in my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Wow. Hebrews 12:28 says, therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. It can't happen. And thus let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe. We have a home that's made by God. I live in a house that was made in a factory by machines and people. And for today, it's more than adequate. But I'm not going to stay there forever. I'm going to stay there a few more years, maybe. And then I'm going home to that place that the Lord Jesus Christ has prepared for me. In that city called the New Jerusalem. A city built by God, not with hands. You see, I can go over here and get slapped as I pinch Ellen. She's going to slap you. You let me do it. But by this afternoon, actually by now already, that owl's gone. Just temporary. Won't last. Just in and out. But she's not created for time. She's not created for 60 or 70 or 80 or 90 years. And then it's over and done. A couple weeks ago, I was at a funeral for a 24-year-old. 24 years and over and done. No, it isn't. No, it isn't. You see, we're not created for years. We're not created for time, for minutes, for hours, for days, for weeks. We're created for eternity. And when we understand that we are created for eternity, that means we understand that when this body dies, I'm going to live right on. And when we understand that we're going to live right on, we come to the place of thinking about where and how am I going to live right on. And Jesus says, for those that have come to me in faith, believing, you will live with me for eternity. Eternity in hell is just as long as eternity in heaven. And just as real. Most of all, Thanksgiving 2016. Most of all, I am thankful for the gift of God's own Son. Paul writes to the church at Corinth in 2 Corinthians 9:15, praise, thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift. King James says, praise be to God for his unspeakable gift. A gift that we cannot fully articulate. And that gift is Jesus Christ. Ephesians 2:8 says, for by grace have you been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is a gift of God. It's a gift of God that we have new life. It's a gift of God that my sin has been forgiven. It's a gift of God that I have the opportunity to spend eternity in heaven with him. It's a gift of God that I have been redeemed from the penalty of sin and the eternity of hell. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Wow. And John 3:16. You know what that says, don't you? For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So, that brings us to a place of asking questions. Brings me to the place of saying to you, will you? Okay, will I what? Well, first of all, will you allow yourself to become truly thankful? You know, the more thankful we become, the bigger change there is in our attitudes and our actions. But the real question is this. If you have not come to a place where you know that if you were to die today, you would spend eternity in heaven. If you can't answer the question, if God said to you, if you died and God said to you, why should I let you in my heaven? If you can't answer that question, biblically, then will you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord? You see, because if God were to ask you that question, I've tried to be good isn't an answer. Or I was baptized is not an answer. Or I was a deacon is not an answer. If you can't say that I should be let into heaven because Jesus Christ died for me at Calvary and I have invited him to be my Savior as I confess my sin and my need. If you can't say that, you've got a problem. You see, the Bible teaches us that there's no other name in heaven or earth whereby you must be saved. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Father, here we are. At this Thanksgiving time, focusing on the blood of Jesus and your saving grace made available to us through him. I pray not only that we would become more thankful, but I pray for those that may be in this place today without Christ as Savior. God, would you empower the Holy Spirit to speak grace to their hearts? Would you speak love to their heart? Would you speak conviction to their heart? Conviction of their sin, conviction of their need for Jesus. God, I pray that there would be a response to you. God, I'm coming home. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.